Donc nous allons reprendre la conférence.
So here we are for the next stage of our César conference. Virtualization is finished, and we're going to deal now with artificial intelligence and cybersecurity. Several sessions for which we are going to have a chairwoman to start with. Can Amélie Chérubin come and join me on stage? Hello, I'm Amélie Chérubin. I work with the Department of Data Science and Artificial Intelligence of the State Agency for Surveillance, and I'm going to be talking about onboard artificial intelligence. I invite our two speakers to come up, cryptography doctors, researchers, main focus is side channel attacks. Doctoral student working there again on side channel attacks with automatic machine learning. They're going to present their work, combining sources of side channel information. Thank you. What we are going to be talking about is preliminary studies and work we've been carrying out on side channel attacks, particularly when AI is involved. This is work that we're working on in Rennes. Christophe, myself, and Amélie User, we are doing it here in Rennes. I'd be grateful to have the screen pointer. There we go. Thank you. Before starting and letting Christophe present things, a bit of context. What we are looking for, physical attacks. If an attacker has a physical access, so we use the analogy of the safe, protecting data, security, combination. You need a code to open. It could be an encrypted series of numbers. It could be a password, and the attacker needs access to this. The other option is to force open the door. It can be more passive and can observe, get information about the number sequence by manipulating the mechanism, like with a stethoscope, to recover information about a secret sequence of numbers. So previously we could send a big laser beam in when the code is being entered. So these things are what we call attacks by side channels, and there are applications in both civil, think of card, bank cards, but we also think of the defense military application, missiles and radios that could be used by adverse, by ill-intentioned people. I'm going to start with a small introduction to side channel attacks. What is it? Imagine that you have here an algorithm, cryptographic algorithm here, plain text, incoming and outgoing ciphertext. It's going to be encrypted on a card. The card is going to provide auxiliary channels, electromagnetic emissions, power consumption, timing, sound, and heat. So an attacker, by analyzing these auxiliary channels, side channels, could get sensitive information, particularly the algorithmic cryptographic key, could discover the key. State-of-the-art to start with, then we're going to talk about our experimental setup, and then I'll be talking about evaluation conclusions. There are two different kinds of side channel attacks, non-profiled and profiled. Non-profiled, it's using statistic tools, and certain hypotheses to discover sensitive information. Then there is profiled attacks that are in two stages. First of all, how did the model leak, and then what sensitive information was discovered? How does the algorithm function? Recently, with the machine learning, there's been side-channel attacks that are based on automatic learning and deep learning techniques. I've listed the main techniques for non-profiled and profiled attacks. These techniques are also called traditional techniques because they are based on automatic deep learning techniques, automatic learning techniques. There is a paper that has been published that is a reference for this area of investigation. ASCAD is the name of it. It was put together by the ANSI. We can also give evidence of the neural network performances against masking countermeasures. And we also have a study of the impact of different architectures on side-channel attacks. But in this paper, researchers have used focus only on single-channel information. Of course, there's a number of other works that have been put together using multi-channel information, including work that has been made to determine which channel provides information between power and electromagnetic impulses, and which are the channels that are most suitable for combination with new metrics. And there is an article that shows the improvement of template attacks, traditional ones, by using multi-channels. But most of these works are based on traditional techniques. Our goal is to explore an approach that is multi-channel thanks to deep learning techniques, so that we can use the advantages of deep learning techniques in side channels, particularly the performances that they offer with regard to countermeasures, and using all the available information provided by multiple channels. I'd like to present the experimental setup that we put together. Our approach was to combine sources of electromagnetic emissions from different locations on the world map, one probe to capture the trigger. It will just allow us to get the starts, that's EM1, then two probes to capture data-dependent leakage, EM2 and EM3, and one probe to capture mostly noise, ambient noise, EM4. What we started was comparing our results with the ASCAD paper, and we set up an experiment that was very similar to that in the paper that was already published, and we used the same architecture, network architecture. Our measurements were taken on a AVR STK500 board with a microcontroller at ATmega8514. And we used encryption, AES-128, protected by masking countermeasures. So here you have a picture of the experiment that we carried out. You have the board, EM2, EM3, close to the microcontroller that are going to capture the leaked data, EM4, which is closer to the microcontroller that's going to capture the noise. We used also several different types of probes with controllers in order to have different kinds of information. As I said previously, we used an AES on this board. Just to give you an overview of what we used. We used an AES that was presented in the ASCAD paper. And in this AES, we targeted certain intermediate values, five of them from P1 to P5. These intermediate values are also presented in the ASCAD paper. For time constraints, we only looked at P2 and P4, masked S-box output and masked S-box output in linear parts. In the AES, these two operations are located here in the heart of the AES. I'm going to talk more in detail about the neural network, DNN. Its purpose was to discover the value of a key byte thanks to P2 and P4 that I've already mentioned. Our neural network is going to predict a list of 256 scores corresponding to 256 possible key byte values. It's also, our neural network is going to also signal to noise ratios to determine the best time frame in the curve. And we're going to be also, we also use the precision and entropy, guessing entropy, accuracy and guessing entropy to evaluate the performances of our DNN and cross-validation to estimate. I'm going to present each of these metrics. First of all, the ratio signal to noise is the ratio between the deterministic data-dependent leakage and the remaining noise. It's a metric that's going to be used before the neural network learning in order to select the values that are going to be given. There is the accuracy metric, that is the number of the ratio of correctly classified labels. It's the most used metric in automatic learning. We're going to use it during the in order to guide the neural network to better solutions. This metric is between 0 and 1. Of course, we are closer to 1, better our modelization. And then the guessing entropy is the ranking of the secret key in the list of possible key byte values. The question of entropy will give a rank of a secret key in according to a list of different possible values. For each trace, our neural network will predict probabilities corresponding to the probability of having such and such a value, a key value, according to the trace. For each trace, there will be different lists of probabilities combined in order to have the key values. We're going to sort them in order to have from the highest to the lowest. And knowing the label, we are going to be capable of determining which key value is going to be obtained. The P50 at the first position is 0. Closer we are 0, more we will be able to determine the value of the key. What's interesting is to combine the different traces and how many traces are needed before we can determine the value of the key. The cross-validation, which will allow us to discriminate the validity of our model. For each trace, we cut it out segments. Our training, our validation, and we're going to give different folds, and there will be a validation set that is different for each fold. A few details given about the architecture of the neural network. Same architecture as the ASCAD paper. For one channel, it doesn't change. Input, 700 points, 5 layers, then one flattened layer and 2 dense layer. For 2 and 3 channel architectures, detecting the input shape that was changed, 7 times 2 and 3 times, 7 times, 700 times 3. 80,000 traces used for training, 20,000 traces used for validation, 6,000 traces used for testing phase with 30 different keys. So 200 traces per key. These 200 will be useful for calculating the guessing entropy. For the training and validation traces, we've used different keys at each time, different numbers of epochs, 30. Batch size 200, optimization RMS prop. We used the Keras framework and we trained and tested on 2 GPUs. For the batch size and optimization parameters, we used the same as in the Keras paper. We used the same as ASCAD for the number of epochs. But we saw there was a convergence from 30 epochs. We started out with 75 and saw there was a convergence at 30, so we limited ourselves to 30. So evaluation of our results, what it's like, what is a measurement like. Here you have an example on the X time and amplitude on Y, and that signal that's captured by the different probes. You can see that EM2, EM3 provide the same information as EM4. It's logical because they are the closest probes to the controller. And then you can see the difference between EM2 and EM3. That difference is due to the different types of probe that we were using. Now I'm going to talk about the results in terms of the metric, signal-to-noise metric ratio. So the EM2, I'm going to focus on the left graph. On the x-axis, you've got time, and the signal-to-noise ratio on the y. So you can see the leakage of data linked to P2 and P4. You can see a lot of P4 linked data leakage, stronger than P2. And here you have a zoom on the selected zone linked to the neural network. You have leakage linked to both P2 and P4. For the EM3 probe, capturing less signal, there's a data leakage that's lesser. Always more data going to be leaking from P4. In the same window that I selected, it's still P4. For the EM4 noise probe, for all of the window, there doesn't seem to be any data leakage because it's further away than the other probes. But if you select the same window, there is nonetheless a bit of data leakage despite the distance from the controlling micro. Now the accuracy results. One single channel corresponding to the EM2 probe. This is on the left, P2 results, P4 results on the right. On the x-axis, y is epoch on x, and y is precision, accuracy. The different models that were trained with the cross-validation. In black is the average value, the mean value, and in green, the accuracy of the value that we try to predict. What we can see is that the model is much more able to predict P4 data rather than P2. If you look at the P4, the pressure obtained at the epoch 20 were close to 0.10, whereas at the same epoch with the 2, we're at under 0.04. Accuracy with two channels, double channel, combination of the information from EM2 and EM3. The details don't change, but you can still see that P4 predicts better than P2. With P2 at epoch 20, we're under 0.404. With three channels, combinations of all the different probes, you have results that are similar. Finally, guessing entropy. Like previously, with one channel, single channel. On the left, you have for P2, and on the right, for P4. Number of traces on X and mean rank on Y. The mean average is in black. The same phenomena as with accuracy. Our model is better able to predict P4 than P2. If you take two traces here, you see a mean rank of almost zero, which is a close prediction to the real value of the key. With P2, the rank isn't quite at zero. guessing entropy with two channels. For P2, there is a slight difference at the mean rank, at the start mean rank. Starting mean ranks are slightly thicker and slightly weaker for P4. With three channels, in both cases, you start with an average, a mean rank that is higher than with two channels and or with one channel. So in conclusion, our results obtained have shown that in our context, multi-channel does not increase the performance more than one channel, already providing enough information. One channel provides enough information, allowing us to predict perfectly the key values. So in future work, we hope to investigate a scenario where one channel is not yet providing enough information to see if bringing other channels in is beneficial. We're going to combine it with other, like emission, electromagnetic emissions or power consumption. We're going to study multi-channels in other contexts, like in the state of the art, there is a paper that talks about improving a traditional technique that could be useful here in a context. Finally, we try different neural network architectures. For the time being in our experiment, we've used the same architecture as the ASCAD paper, but with different data, maybe we should try a different architecture, our own architecture. Thank you for your attention. Thank you, Christophe. Any questions now? Any questions from the floor? I see no hands being raised. Yes, there is someone here on the bottom on the right. And then up there on the left. What I wanted to know is, before testing new architectures for your neural network, have you tried to just vary some of the hyperparameters, which would be simpler and faster to institute? And that might give you ideas as to what the paper architecture doesn't provide and might help you solve your own problems. No, we haven't tried to do hyperparameter research, something we were thinking of, but we have a lot of hyperparameters to take into account, so we haven't looked at what might be more beneficial to change first, no. So up at the top, at the left, thank you for this presentation. Have you tested the impact that defense compilations might have on your results now that the neural network is well-trained? Defensive compilations, what do you mean? In order to reduce leakage. In our experiment, we used masked countermeasures. Is that what you're talking about? We have not used that type of tool at all. We tried to reproduce what we had on ASCAD. One of the problems we had at the beginning was that we had compiled in minus zero, and there were leakage that would appear and disappear depending on the compilators. What we wanted to do is get closest to what they'd already done in order to verify their architecture. Yes, there are projects that we might be interested in investigating some of the things, protecting the compilation and how that might protect the neural networks. Some of the architectures we could use would completely bypass the optimization of this aspect of things. Are there any more questions? So we thank you, Christophe and Benoit. Thank you again.